It's Wednesday, and you know what that means. Once again, we are late. Of course we are. But welcome to the 8 of the K Wrestling Show with your hosts, Carl and Anthony. And as is tradition, let's kick it over to Road Dogg for 8 of the K's little known fact of the week.
Oh, you didn't know?
Yes, finger pointing and all. Obviously, we've just had Extreme Rules. Though, albeit not really that extreme, Anthony, which I'm sure we'll come on to as we talk about the show.
Ironically, though, it featured a member of Team Extreme, and was still not very extreme.
Yeah, team normal, team average, if you will. But did you know there has only been one wrestler in the history of Extreme Rules to main event one year and then end up on the pre-show in the following year? Any idea who it might be, Anthony? Don't read the notes. Don't look, don't skim. Don't look through.
How did you know I was doing that?
Don't do it. Any ideas?
I'm going to forfeit my guess because I clearly did read the notes. I'm just going to let you reveal to the crowd. To the crowd? We've got a crowd now. Hey, guys.
Well, of course we have. Obviously, all, you know, global podcast that we are.
I just put this way. Guys sat over there.
For anyone who does want to hazard a guess, in 2011, he lost the WWE title to John Cena in a triple threat steel cage match. Then the following year...
So it wasn't John Cena.
Followed up on a pre-show appearance in 2012 in a losing effort to Santino Marella for the US title.
Santino.
And it wasn't Santino.
Okay.
Who could it be? It was The Miz. Of course it was The Miz. It's always The Miz.
In fact, yeah, it couldn't be anyone other than The Miz now.
It couldn't be. But yeah, so what a, you know, I love The Miz. I think he's fantastic. He's, you know, the only two-time Triple Crown, whatever it is, champion. Is that it? Triple Crown? I don't know. It's not about a crown.
Do you become a Grand Slam?
That's the one. Two-time Grand
Slam.
That's
the one, isn't it?
That's what I meant. He's the only two-time Grand Slam champion. And I think, obviously, everything he's been through career-wise and having to change, you know, in the public toilets and, like, people, you know, audience members coming in and being that's The Miz. I'm pretty sure I saw The Miz.
The Undertaker had to let him back eventually, didn't he? But...
He did. Yeah. He did.
Had to earn his dues the old-fashioned way.
He certainly did. He's gonna pay his dues. The Miz he holds the many records, but yeah, the unfortunate one of main eventing one year and then going on to be on the pre-show the following year. So yeah, that was 8 of the K's little known fact of the week, Anthony. And we will sing it back over to Road Dogg to play us out.
Oh, you didn't know?
Oh, yeah. So, this week in wrestling that Anthony's pointing to right now, the big graphic. Let's kick it off. Let's talk about what happened this week in wrestling. And by doing so, we will head over to Monday Night Raw. And we will talk about, Anthony, the Bloodline versus the New Day.
You know, I saw some people upset over this, oddly upset over this, because this should have been on a pay-per-view. Who gives a fuck? It was a good matchup, and it was something worth watching on Raw.
I concur. I mean, I think the fact that people are saying, "Oh, this should be on a pay-per-view," you know, it's a good thing. Like, TV should be good as well.
It's a like, good thing.
We shouldn't have to sit through months and months of terrible telly before we finally see a good match on a pay-per-view. So yeah, it felt like a fresh change of pace for me. I think a solid opener. Typical of the likes of Dynamite. You know, we didn't need all the stuff that happened at the end. I'm not going to lie, but
do we ever?
I mean, it's always convoluted, isn't it? It's like Cody Rhodes booking 24/7 in WWE.
He learned the overproduction.
It's true. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was good. I think it was something which fans were clamoring for. You know, the idea of the Bloodline, the New Day. And the fact that it just opened the show for Raw, I was like, okay, that is, it felt fresh. It wasn't just like, okay, we're opening with another Randy Orton promo. So yeah, different in a good way, I thought. So
indeed.
Yeah, big props from me.
Indeed. Couldn't agree more. Speaking of, is it different? It just makes a lot of fucking sense. My next one, Carl, is the combination of Umberto and Garza. Now, obviously, we've known since, I think, their main roster debut, certainly, they've been enemies, despite being familiar.
Oh, yes.
You know, I think that was probably set to be for quite a while, but then somebody somewhere has seen sense and gone, well, they're both kind of doing nothing backstage, and we have a shocking tag division, so let's do something with that. So now we had the partnership of Umberto and Garza. I can't even remember who they went up against, Carl. That's how impactful that was. But they had their debut as a tag team this week, and you know what? It just points out that they're both... it was a fairly quick squash, but it just really shows you that they are incredibly talented guys. They seem to work well as a team. Obviously, they are cousins, and I know they have worked together before, but I'm actually excited to see where they go as a tag team. This could be a contender for like the Raw tag scene. Like, who have we got, really?
I mean, like, yeah.
Legitimately, who have we got? They need this. They really need this. And let's face it, they weren't using either of them in the singles side of things in any great shape anyway. So just absolutely perfectly formed, I think.
Yeah, I will agree. I think these two, you know, for the longest time have had so much talent and just not, you know, a platform to actually showcase that. I think Umberto especially has kind of worked out significantly, you know, over the last few weeks, and, you know, he's looking massively jacked, and I think they tried to bring him back and get him in some kind of program, but they've now decided to pair him up with Angel Garza, which...
We saw Garza backstage just sexually harassing women and thought, fuck it, he'll do. Distract them in some way.
It's funny, really, because obviously they are cousins in real life. I think when Garza was brought in as part of the, you know, the pandemic era storyline, where he was teamed up with Andrade and Zelina Vega to take on the likes of Umberto. And now it's kind of come full, you know, full circle where, you know, it's cousins, the tag team. So, yeah, I think... the match was with Mustafa Ali and Mansoor.
Sorry, that was Ali and Mansoor, yeah.
But I mean, to your point, completely forgettable, unfortunately. but yeah, I think it's great to see these two, you know, getting TV time, and, you know, hopefully it's not going to be something which they forget about in a week's time. I think, you know, keeping together, really getting to do something, and then...
I'm nothing really against... I'm assuming it's still them. This is how much I give a shit these days. I'm not really anything against AJ and Omos, right? But we need some more tag teams for that division. It's absolutely shocking.
Do you know what? I don't even think it's I don't even know who it is. I think it's them.
It may I don't think it's them. I honestly can't. No, RK Bro.
There you go.
I'm catching up in my head.
Like, who even who cares though at this point? You know what I mean? So yeah, it's a good thing. Fresh tag teams on Raw. We are here to see it. So, yeah, I will agree. Highlight. Speaking of highlights, I don't know how you feel about this one. And it's very uncharacteristic coming from me. But Charlotte Flair, again, second week in a row, is a highlight. Here and Alexa Bliss's little weird segment. Right, I'll preface it. It was a bit long. It was very long, probably. But I don't know. I enjoyed it. There was some good, you know... little burns in there between the two of them. Like, obviously, I popped several times with the whole kind of, like, who even are you without, you know, being Ric Flair's daughter? And everyone's like, woo, woo. And she's like, don't talk to me about gimmick infringement or whatever. And it's like, oh.
Audience full of ambulances there, yeah.
Well, yeah, woo, woo. So, yeah, and then she's like, you know, don't talk to me about originality. And it's like, well, yeah, fucking hell. Yeah, you are just a fiend. yeah, I don't know. There was, like, a few bits like that where I was like, and, you know, I'm a big fan of this. I think I mentioned it last week with Ruby Soho and Britt Baker, you know, where we do get a bit deep and we do get a bit, like, real. And, like, that's what wrestling is. Like, it should have that edge about it and stuff. You know, edge should be in every segment, is what I'm saying.
Exactly. Everything should have a bit of edge about it. If you look at, like, what people loved about the Attitude Era, because so many people now, like, oh, really, you love the Attitude Era, look at this, and they give you a ton of bad examples, and the Attitude Era weren't perfect, and there's a load of shit you could look at in the bad sense. But when you look at, what people sort of loved and gravitated to in the Attitude Era, it was personalities like Stone Cold and, like, The Rock and so on like that, and half of the reason they were able to get that personality across was because they let them have personality, and they let them talk, and they let them, like you say, get a little bit personal and make it feel a bit more gritty and a bit more real. And, you know, yes, there was a ton of ludicrousy around all that, but we need to get back of that. So I totally agree with you on this point. To be honest, I decided this week in watching this, the reason I think most of the time I don't like Charlotte, and again, talking character rather than person, because I don't know her as a person, is the fact that if you look at most every other storyline she's been in, it didn't matter who her opponent was. The storyline was always the same for Charlotte. She cuts promos where she's the best and she should be the champ and no one's better than Charlotte, entitled princess kind of thing. And it's like the fact that the other person absolutely has no bearing on her promo is probably the reason it's always been shit, if I'm honest with you. Whereas this time, this is an interesting feud for me. And the fact that, like you say, the promos they're cutting with each other, it makes it more interesting. It makes Charlotte more interesting. It makes the whole thing work. I couldn't agree more. Would you should I say that? I think this was actually really good this week.
Yeah, I will agree. I think, you know, it's almost a cult of personality, Anthony, if you will. But no, I think it feels fresh. I think you said that last week. It feels different for these two to be in a feud together. Something which we haven't really seen much of, if at all, in the past. And I think, you know, you make an excellent point that it's not just about, you know, I'm Ric Flair's daughter and woo, and it's more around the fact that, you know, she's talking about Lily and she's talking about, like, this Charlie or whatever the fuck it was called. And it just feels different for Charlotte, but in a good way. So, yeah, I think good promo, bit long, but good overall. Made me interested in the match of the pay-per-view, which is what you need to do from a segment like this.
But, yeah, so we both agree. Charlotte's, like, awesome now, yeah?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
And that's not going to go wrong, even slightly. Not even slightly, Carl, not even slightly.
No.
Oh, God, no.
No.
Right, so the next one, Carl, for me, was the actual main event. I think this was a perfect way to sort of bookend the night. I think we can probably both agree it maybe limped a little bit in the middle, but... And I'm curious to see how you felt about this triple threat, because obviously you've not been a huge fan of Big E.
Nope.
So I'm curious how you felt about the main events, because I think this was a really well-executed match. Honestly, I think, I don't know, I was expecting it to be messier, I suppose, but the whole thing sort of worked for me, and I think it was a good way to end the night. I won't harp on too much, but I am curious how you felt about it due to the sort of, what's the word? I'm not going to say you're against it, but rather tentative about about Big E being champ. So I'm curious how you feel about it all.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I am against Big E being champ. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I am against it. In terms of, I think it bookended the show nicely. I think obviously you had the start and, you know, a confrontation between the Bloodline and the New Day. And then you ended it with this kind of triple threat match. And I think it was fine.
I mean,
it was
we had
good.
To have shenanigans to get there, sadly, but yeah.
Well, of course, you know, it wouldn't be an episode of WWE without that happening, but no, I thought, like, honestly, I thought it was a good match. You know, Roman is obviously the big dog, no pun intended, but you can tell he's just on a level above the pair of these two. You know, I've been quite vocal about Bobby Lashley not being a convincing champion, not in the sense he's not a big, massive, you know, beast, because he is. But he just doesn't have it for me. And it's the same with Big E. He doesn't have it either. So, you know, it was, you know, essentially the Roman Reigns show in the sense of who was running this. But, no, I thought it was good. It was a good kind of bookending match to the show based on how it started. And, yeah, you know, who knows what's going to happen with, you know, between now and, you know, WrestleMania, for example, between these guys. They've got to build new stars. They've got to put their all into it and make people relevant and make people feel like a main event draw. So, yeah, I don't want to shit on them too much. I think it was good. It was entertaining. And I think overall, it was a really good episode of Raw. So
I take your point, though, like, because it's not, I don't think it's really shitting on them to say that. Like, I think that's probably been the unusual thing for us as wrestling fans from old, is that they seem to go for the approach of, like, we'll put the belt on them and then make them.
Yeah.
Whereas normally it's the other way around. And it's so fucking weird. Like, we'll put the belt on them and then we'll try and make something out of them. It's so, such a strange way to do it. But as if they get there, you know, if they get there in the end, and that's the end result and sound. But that seems to be what they've done with both Lashley and Big E, really.
Yeah, no, I agree. But yeah, you know, I'm not as I'm not so bad to say like that's it. You know, he's never going to convince me. Like, convince me, please. Like, I would love to eat a big fucking slice of Big E humble pie.
Puts controversial things out. Like that change my mind meme that you constantly see all the time. That's you,
yeah,
right now.
That is me. But yeah, you know, I think to your point, it's a good idea to team him back up with the New Day. But is he going to feel like a main event star with the New Day? I'm not convinced. He didn't feel like one when he was on his own on SmackDown. That is for sure.
I think, but if anyone can help hype him up as a big deal, it will be them, though.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, yeah, I'm open to being proven wrong, if you will. So prove me wrong, Big E. Prove that you are a main event guy. Bobby Lashley, sorry, no hope for you. You're big and all that, but yeah, nah.
Sorry, Bob. Maybe if you like team back up with Hair Business or something.
Yeah, I mean, that was good, wasn't it? You know, I mean, you've put it out there now, Anthony, into the ether. I'm sure they'll end up copying this at some point.
I know. I just hope at some point in the near future it happens. You know.
Yes. Let's talk about NXT, and I'm going to use it as a highlight, Anthony. It's a rare occurrence, but I am. So, obviously, Kushida, Strong, solid match. I think, obviously, the title change as well, it felt fresh, it felt different, it felt like, okay, NXT 2.0 might be something different, and no pun intended, I think it's going to keep Strong, and obviously Diamond Mind as well. I think, you know, they need something now. Obviously, they've been there for a while. Constantly, you know, being like, yeah, we're Diamond Man. Look at us, we're Diamond Man.
I totally agree.
We mind for diamonds.
Really.
And it's like, Sam? But yeah, so now, you know, hopefully this will be something which elevates the whole faction. But yeah, nice to see a title change on a, you know, TV show, and fair play. Let's see how Strong does with it going forward. And yeah, I wonder what's next for Kushida, obviously, with the impending draft. Might we see him go up? Who knows?
If he doesn't move, right, Kushida, I think, has been absolutely awesome. He's really proved his worth since his whole run with the Cruiserweight title. I think if he doesn't get drafted, because that is a possibility now, I'd love to see him head towards the North American Championship.
Yeah, that's a great shout, actually.
Yeah, but we'll see. They just don't know what's going to happen anymore. Not anymore. I'll stick with NXT then, Carl, for my next one. And this may surprise, because I know some people hate it and some people have been really negative about it, but Toxic Attraction, which is now the name for this faction, which is Mandy Rose and...
All right, Priscilla Max Caster. Toxic Attraction's the name for this faction.
But yeah, Toxic Attraction. Mandy Rose, Priscilla Kelly and the other one. You know what? Looking like a really good trio. Sorry.
That's savage. Actually savage.
I was even mean enough to not even use Gigi Dolan as the proper name, because fucking stupid name. But no, seriously though, Toxic Attraction as a trio, I think are looking really good. I think there's a lot of potential there. I think it's a bit of a... If you look at the way the women's division sort of has kind of waned a little bit in NXT. I'm not trying to be too disrespectful, but when you consider, like, you know, in recent years, Bianca Belair has gone, Tony Storm's gone, we've got others who names escape me because I'm trying to think of them now because I'm that kind of person. Shotzi Blackheart, that was the other one. They've had a lot of great talent go, and they've still got a lot of great talent there, but I feel like this was something that they kind of needed for the women's division. And honestly, kind of something that Mandy Rose has really needed as well. I mean, she's got fuck all to do on the main roster. They've took her back to NXT. They tried to change her attitude. They've changed the hair color, so now you know she's a bad guy. And positive thoughts. And overall, I think it's got a lot of potential. I mean, yes, they've not done a great deal with it yet, but I think this has got a lot of potential. I mean, I could honestly see, and I know some people might be against this, but like Mandy Rose having a title run because she's being supported by the other two would make a lot of sense, because she's like the leader and the bad guy, so it just makes sense. And you know, as it always does with wrestling, it'll lead to eventual heel turns and such and such. But overall, I like the start of it. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, agreed. I think it's nice to see Mandy Rose with a bit of direction, not just like You know, you're Mandy Rose, you're a blonde.
So what's my character? You're blonde.
Yeah. Okay, but what about, no, just be blonde. Oh, okay. And now it's like, no, just be brunette. And, you know, obviously that opens up a whole new, you know, set of doors.
And this is where they say, like, some people just aren't keen on this, and that's because some people look at it like that. They go, oh, she's done a change of hair colour. And it's like, I think there's more to it than that. And I don't think it's as simple as being like, well, oh yeah, she's there, just like, and it is one of them obvious tropes of like, she, you know, look how bad she is now.
Yeah. I think as well, you know, I've got massive respect for Mandy because, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of it, but did she choose to go back to NXT? Was she forced to go back? You know, it's a big change going from obviously the main roster, and, you know, there's a lot of humble pie there to say, well, actually, I'm going to go to the not B show. NXT, which essentially is she was sent back there to improve her, you know, character and her, you know, in-ring work. So, yeah, honestly, I don't know.
Whether or not, like, she was upset about it in reality, the story's there, isn't it? Like, that's your whole reason for being pissed off at a bad guy is because you've been sent back down to developmental unnecessarily. Like, yeah. She could make a whole character and whole story arc out of that, man.
No, definitely. You know, it beats whatever they were doing with, like, Aaron Otis and Aaron Sonya.
Everyone loved
stuff.
Everyone loved Motis. Does that work?
Yes. We'll go with that. So, unfortunately, that was all the good things to talk about this week for WWE. Let's move on to the bad. So, kicking it off with Doudrop versus Eva Marie.
I'm a positive person now, Carl. I'm going to struggle with this.
All right. So you've clearly been binging DDP. Right? You have. You can tell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's all on Amazon Prime. I can't help it.
It is.
DDP yoga. Changed my life.
But we also know that it's bullshit because Anthony can't be positive about anything in his life for more than
honestly,
2 minutes.
Like, I feel bad because I want to be like DDP. I want to be that positive guy. And it inspired me when we spoke to him, and it inspired me when I watched Resurrection of Jake and stuff like that. And then I'm like about 10 minutes into like Twitter. I'm like, I fucking hate everything. So yeah. It doesn't last. It doesn't last.
But what does last is the feud between Doudrop and Eva Marie. Some reason. Like, why are we getting this again? Why did we get it in the first place? It doesn't need to happen every week. And I don't get what it's doing for either of them. They brought Eva Marie back for some reason. Surely it's not to be jobbing out to Doudrop. I don't get it, right? They brought her back because obviously they think something of it, whether it's her looks, whether it's a name, something, right? This ain't doing shit all for anybody. Doudrop doesn't look good by beating Eva Marie. Eva Marie doesn't look good by being squashed by Doudrop. It makes no sense. Why do we have to see it, let alone once, but every fucking week on Raw? I don't get it. So, yeah, that's my thoughts.
You'd miss it if it was gone, Carl.
No, I wouldn't.
I think a little party of likes, Eva Marie and Doudrop.
Yeah, no.
It's like become a staple of your Monday nights.
No, definitely. Yeah, no. Not even a little bit. No, not even slightly. Okay. Screw this positivity bullshit, Anthony. It's not working. You can't make anything positive out of this shit show. It's not possible.
Well, I'm thinking, I hope we can, because if we point out these things, then it's opportunity for change.
Hmm. A Doudrop opportunity, if you will.
Mayo Shai Carl. A bit of a twofold. The authority crap that they seem to play on far too much these days. Well, these days, they always have, let's be honest, right? And on top of that, Bobby. Because he just can't fucking talk. Like, I don't know what it is with Bobby. No offense, I know Bobby's been in this for a while now, right? And he's had some proper credibility and impact and so on like that. But we've seen people get sent back to developmental for talking like this. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's not got strong mic skills. And I know we're dealing with the fact that he's not got MVP at the moment. But it's not like MVP they're all just talking from anyway. We saw it quite obviously a lot of the time. They're two for one there. But that's my next shite and complaint.
Oh, yeah. Got fucking Tweedledee and Tweedledum shit sitting there every now and again. They come out with something and you're like, why are you even here? And then the next minute, fucking Dumb and Dumberist comes in the room, Bobby Lashley, and he's just like, and fight. And it's like, fuck's sake.
Well, if he played into it, doesn't use his words, uses fists. I'd love it if they played into that, but
he's awful. Like, he can't string a sentence together. I don't get it. How is this guy being a fucking world champion? I don't get it. Don't get me wrong, he's got the look. He's got the ability to a degree in the ring. Cool. He can't talk. You've got to have, like, at what point in WWE did it become okay to be like, okay, well, he's got, like, you know, two out of the five things we're looking for. Let's make him a star. And it's like, what happened?
See, this is the thing, like I was saying before, where they've gone, we'll put the belt on him and then we'll do something with him. Because this guy, in less than a year, went from backstage segments where he's flipping tires with Lana to being a world champion. Doesn't make any sense, really. But he did it. And now they've done it.
The funny thing was, he couldn't even flip the tire in the segment. It's like, fuck's sake. Like, it's so bad.
That's not us, like, having a pop because we couldn't flip the tire. But the fact is, he was meant to be showing that he could flip the tire quite easily.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, anyway, I think
let's have back a year.
Well, no, because I think it's fantastic that you brought that up, because how has that happened? How has that, you know, been his 1 year journey of a fucking segment with Lana where, you know, everything that went on with that to now being convincing as a world champion. He took so many losses along the way. You know, they just do a terrible job. And, you know, people shit on AEW for going, oh, well, the win-loss record means nothing anyway. You know, they make it up, blah, blah, blah. Well, it means a fucking little bit more than what happens in WWE. Like, you know, we've said this. I mean, have we got it? Have we actually got it this week? No, I think we had it last week. You know, Jeff Hardy challenging for the fucking US title. When he's been on a massive skid for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah, but it's not like they're going to give him another US title shot anytime soon.
Well, yeah, that's true. But do you know what I mean? Like, anyway. Digressing.
I'll give don't be wrong, the win-loss record's not perfect with AEW because there are stars that are coming in that they want to put in a bigger position and you can't have them do 100 matches on Dark just to bring the numbers up. It makes that near impossible. And they've had to explain the Daniel Bryan stuff, haven't they, and go, well, okay, he's not going to challenge now until he's brought his record up. But, you know, beyond that, it's like, it's still some sort of mechanism, like you say.
Yeah.
It's attempting to try and justify or explain something. Whereas I think for a long time, WWE haven't done that. There were times when you didn't need an actual record being shown, but you could see someone was on a hot streak and then they were suddenly in the title picture and you go, well, that made sense. Now they just go, who's next? And I think the problem's been, especially for Raw, like, because that wouldn't have happened with Bobby on SmackDown because they wouldn't have felt right. Whereas Raw, they had a real lack of star power. So you had Drew McIntyre. And then if you look at his sort of defenses, like Randy Orton was a legitimate candidate. Yeah, he had to have about 4 or 5 matches with him. Do you know what I mean? It was a difficult slog to find decent opponents for him.
Yeah.
So Bobby got called up.
One of the biggest problems for me is the fact that the WWE audience is so casual now that they have to be so self-referential constantly and be like, well, oh yeah, well, this guy, you know, he's done this and he's done that. And, you know, to your point where you would have someone who was on a hot streak and it would just make sense because you would watch it every week and you'd be like, okay, this guy's probably going to go for the title soon. But now it's like, you know, in case you didn't tune in the last 3 weeks, this guy.
The thing, though, it's just a mentality, though, isn't it? Like, it can't be mostly casual viewers, right? They're easily, even the worst show, Raw, is pulling over 1 million viewers every week. They can't be casual. They can't all be casual. That's impossible. So they've got people coming back week after week, but they're not catering for them. This is just a management mentality, isn't it?
No, I think,
to casual viewers when they clearly don't need to.
Yeah, I think, was it Nick Khan who came out and basically said that, you know, we know we're putting on a TV show where, you know, the bulk of people who are watching it watching the phone at the same time and they're just on TikTok or something and it's on in the background as something, as background noise.
That's shocking. Why would you say that? We know we're producing a show that you'll half watch.
Yeah. Well,
what the fuck is that?
Exactly. And,
imagine any other, like, take it away from, like, the theatrics of, like, an embellished sports entertainment arena, put it as an actual TV show. Imagine, right, a show like, what's a show that we really like? Imagine Game of Thrones just going, ah, fuck it, like, there's no point in trying too much because you're not really going to pay attention, so each episode's going to be pretty much isolated by itself and we'll remind you constantly who everyone is just because you're not watching, are you? You don't really give a fuck. Like, imagine any other show doing that, Imagine how horrendous that show would be.
Do you know what, though? Like, the scary thing is with Game of Thrones, with the reference you made, is the amount of times... No, the amount of times in work where people were like, who's that one again? What's good? Like, they couldn't follow it. And it was like, yeah, I can sympathise.
Watch it!
I can sympathise. So, yeah.
Okay. Maybe that wasn't a good example. Yeah. But my point is, Nick, being the whatever the title they've given him is, involved in WWE, he shouldn't have that mentality. He shouldn't be trying to, it's almost like saying, well, we're not going to produce a show any better than that.
No.
That's what we're producing.
I mean, for whatever reason, WWE sees himself as a variety show. Which leads nicely on to the next shite this week, Anthony, which is we got to see Shayna Baszler versus Nia Jax.
But it all was bullshit.
If only we had that to drop in right now. Like, honestly, don't get it. Like, okay, tag team implodes. That'd be cool if they weren't imploding for about 2 years.
Or anyone liked them as a tag team. Like, well, it was impactful when Edge and Christian split up because we liked the tag team.
Well, yeah. You know, or if anyone liked them as individuals, really.
Oh, wait, positivity. I'm sad that they split up.
Yeah. But, like, the way they did it as well, like, you know, Shayna Baszler has the potential to be something. She's not going to be a star because she can't talk, right? And that is a big thing in wrestling, right? People, like, you know, I've said it with Bobby, I've said it with, you know, other people. If you can't talk, you're not going to be featured because no one's going to give a fuck, right? And Shayna can't talk, right? She comes across as goofy, a bit of an oaf, and not menacing in the slightest, right? But yeah. She comes out, you know, these two have a match, and, you know, essentially she breaks Nia's, I don't know, elbow, shoulder, something. She gets real violent about it. Something, yeah.
Did she stamp on her hand? I don't even know anymore.
She stamped on something, some kind of bit of the arm. And it's like, well, okay. And obviously you've got Nia rolling around, screaming like a fucking banshee. You know, this is the same woman who's like, my hole! You know, it felt very much the same fucking kind of wavelength as that, to be fair.
My hand!
That's yeah, same thing. Well, exactly. And it was like, well, you know, it was over the top selling. It was like, you know, unbelievably shrieking. Like, you think she'd been... It was almost like Lillian Garcia getting, you know, knocked off the ropes by Charlie Haas. It was over the top. I kid. Lillian, if we get you on the show one day, don't watch this episode. But no, I think, it didn't land for me. And I think... What were we like, as you know, as an audience who doesn't like either of them? What were we meant to feel? Nobody likes Nia Jax. It doesn't make any sense why we would go, oh, but Shayna's just like broke something. Like, ah, oh, we should care for Nia. No, we shouldn't, because she's a twat, and everyone knows she's a twat. So it's like, well, why?
And
like,
it's impossible to feel any higher levels of. Yeah. So why are they trying so much?
This was a 100%. Kind of a segment, I think. You know, we talk about a variety show. I don't know who this segment was for because, yeah, who the fuck cares? So, yeah, Nia's injured. Cool. Keeps her off my telly. Keeps her off my telly. It's a fucking good thing as far as I'm concerned.
Right, you've got too much enthusiasm in for that match. Go full OT with it.
Oh, yeah. That happened.
Okay, so my next one, Carl. And these two are incredibly talented guys. I'm going to start by saying that. But Jeff Hardy going against Sheamus again.
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 Again?
Like, this is almost as bad as Creative Have Nothing For You when they just keep putting you in the same fucking match. Right?
And this
I really hope that we don't see them in a match again anytime soon.
Yeah, because, I mean, God, imagine. But, like, this is the equivalent of just going... Okay, and then, you know, the next segment is, and a camera just zooms up to the same person in catering and just goes, Then they cut away, and having that next week as well. Like,
yeah. Mm. Honestly, Bill Murray had more variety than what's going on here right now.
Oh, come on.
Bill Murray. Now he's cool, he's good people. But if anyone knows repetitiveness, hang on, there's a word there. Repetitiveness, it's Bill. And my God, that's what we're getting right here. But yeah, so nothing against the two of them. They're incredibly talented guys. I should enjoy any match I see them in, but I just maybe a little less of it. Maybe other people, you know. Maybe not Karrion Kross, though. Let's not open that kind of worms again.
God, no.
Basically, I'm fickle.
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Karrion Kross's new gimmick was, instead of an hourglass, it was a can of worms. But no, I think, to your point, Groundhog Day, it was. You know, Bill Murray reference and all. I think we've seen this. We saw this for many, many weeks on SmackDown. You know, we had a whole angle around it being, you know, Jeff's sobriety. And like, we had that for weeks and weeks. And, you know, even the way that got started with Sheamus going, "You're talking about Jeff when it's about me." And it's like, yeah, okay. Like, we spoke at length about how much we fucking hated that. And now it's like, well, here's something you haven't seen in a while. Sheamus and Jeff Hardy. And it's like, fuck, what? What is going on? So, yeah.
Just can't leave each other alone.
Like, yeah, Jesus. So, yeah, no one needed to see that, in my opinion. So, Anthony, moving over to SmackDown. We actually got a women's match. It wasn't long, but we got one, which is, you know, improvements.
Women's Evolution,
on previous
week.
However, and this isn't a slight on the match itself or the performers in it, but you finally give a, you know, bit of TV time to the women, to Liv Morgan, who has, you know, managed to get herself a match on the pay-per-view, and you have her lose to Zelina Vega for no reason whatsoever.
Just because.
And it's like,
I feel like somebody really doesn't like Liv, because any time that there's any slight momentum there, they go, no, no, just remember that she doesn't win things.
The weird thing is, I'm so conflicted, because the pair of these could do so well on their own if given the right amount of like booking and time and consideration. And unfortunately, we're at a point where Zelina Vega's lost so many. I mean, has she even won since she's been there? You know, for the second time?
I'm not sure. I'm honestly not sure.
And it's like, okay, you finally give Zelina Vega a win over Liv Morgan, who has just managed to get herself onto a pay-per-view. And it's like, it makes no sense. Like, who is booking this shit? And it's like, well, it's not even like Carmella got so involved to the point that was it. It was just like, Carmella was there and, like, you know, Zelina won. And it was like, okay. What a great time to do that right before the pay-per-view. So, yeah. Was not a fan.
Crazy fan of,
you know, I will be explicit. I am a fan of the pair of these, but not a fan of what happened.
You had to throw the word explicit in there, didn't you?
Well, I thought you were going to say a fan of, you know, throw the word pair in there. No one knew. But yeah, no, you know, honestly, these two, I think I've got so much potential. I think we've, you know, you can go back episodes and episodes. I've been consistent. I'm a massive fan of Liv. I'm a massive fan of Zelina. I think they can both do something really good. And it's just like, to look at their position in the, you know, SmackDown roster, in the whole of WWE at the moment, and then finally one of them gets a bit of a break on, okay, you're actually going to be on a singles paper, you know, a singles match on pay-per-view for like the first time. And it's like, she loses the match before. Mm-hmm. It's like, come on. Come on.
I know. Ridiculous, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, moving on. I'm going to take us back over to NXT, if I could, Carl.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how you feel about this, but Joe Gacy's new gimmick and this whole trying to... this worries me, because I think WWE are trying to cash in on something that may end up be the result of something that they try and cancel them over, to be honest. But the whole characters are based around the... apologies to Americans, because I always lose track, but I'm assuming it's the left, the woke left. But essentially, he's going for one of these, you know, the like, oh, this safe space, that sort of one note sort of bullshit of like, you know, trying to be sort of super woke, but in a wrestling capacity. So we're in an arena where it's based around physical matches, and he's trying to make the ring a safe space. In itself is just fucking utter nonsense. But the character he's trying to portray, I think, is probably almost a bit too political.
Hmm.
And I don't really, obviously, I can't by any means start talking about American politics, so I'm not going to try. But the point is, like, it's a dangerous territory to... for WWE to tread into, in which they may end up saying something or doing something or portraying this character in a way that's going to piss a lot of people off and cause a lot of problem. And I'm like, why even bother, to be honest with you? The character's a bit shite, because, like, I get it was just like you're going for whole things of like, oh, good match, and trying to shake the hand and stuff, and it's like it just doesn't, it's not going to last as a gimmick. And I don't know, I'm just not feeling it, to be honest. And as I say, I just feel like this may be something that, that causes them problems down the line, in all honesty. And some people might go, well, WWE, they've done, you know, they've dabbled into politics before. Obviously, they've had the former president, Donald Trump, on WWE TV. So it's not like they're afraid of going into that. I think it's just the way they're trying to portray this character. It's like, aren't you then roughly isolating, like, a large percentage of Americans?
Mm. Yeah, it's a weird one. I think they're probably trying to go for, you know, shock culture of, like, oh, will he be cancelled? And it's like, yeah, I ain't a fan. So...
Mm.
Yeah, I would agree. Firmly a no shite. And the last one to talk about for WWE this week, Anthony, is Happy Talk. Because everyone needs a talk show. I don't know. I thought when Baron Corbin came back as Happy Corbin, I quite liked his transformation as a character. I thought this was the first time he, you know, did a promo that didn't bore me to death. And I was like, okay, this could go somewhere as a character. And I just think they got this all wrong. It was just like, okay, we're on Happy Talk. And obviously Kevin Owens came out. And then they brought back, what's his face? Guy whose name I can't even remember. Remember his name? That dude who's on Raw Underground for a bit.
David Kato.
Probably. Now they brought someone back. Obviously who beat up Kevin Owens as well as part
Riddick
of it.
Moss.
That's the one. And yeah, I'm just a bit like, yeah. I mean, probably.
Was it Braun? Was it Braun Strowman? He was on Underground for a bit.
Braun Strowman? Hmm. Name rings a bell. But no,
like,
I think...
Oh shit, we fired Braun. Hey, Riddick.
Yeah, well, yeah. It seems like it. You know, it didn't really make any sense. And I think it was like, okay, let's give Corbin some more TV time. What can we do? I don't know, give him a talk show, the fucking, what do they even call it? The happy hour or something? I don't even know what it got. Was it
happy hour would have made sense, but that sounds like it almost makes too much sense for them.
Yeah, I think they called it Happy Talk. Happy Talk with Happy Corb.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
So, yeah, it was shit, basically. So, it belongs on the O-Shites. And, yeah, that was it for WWE this week.
A bit of a miss. I was really hopeful for Corbin as well.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's dead in the water, but I think they need to stop doing these... interview, like, why is everybody got to have a fucking chat show? It doesn't make any sense. Why is everybody got to do it? Like, it's wrestling. Like, what are you doing?
I'm honestly in an age where we have Talk and Smack and Raw Talk and After the Bell and various other talk shows before and after the fucking show. You don't need one in the middle of the fucking show anymore. I don't think, personally.
It's called a promo. Do it either in the ring or backstage. That's all you need. Doesn't have to be a talk show. Doesn't have to feel different or like some kind of variety. No, just let the person talk.
It's funny though because they've got, look at, like, prime example, the KO show, right? If they'd have moved that onto the network as its own show, separate from Raw and SmackDown, they'd have had content for the network and it'd have worked because he had that established sort of likable chat show.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have a place in the main show anymore.
No. Like, they use it as some kind of weird vehicle to, like, set up other feuds, basically, but it's like,
it's a contract signing without a contract signing. That's all it fucking is.
It is, yeah. So, yeah, that was WWE this week, Anthony. I am going to give it a 2 out of 5, right? For me, it was one of the better Raws that I've seen in a long, long time. I thought SmackDown absolutely fucking sucked, especially for a go home show. Savage. It was fucking awful. It hasn't got a single highlight from us, you know, I think.
No,
it
hasn't, actually, yeah.
It was
shite. Very good point. The best asset on SmackDown was busy on Raw this week, so, you know.
Well, yeah, there you go.
There you go. That's why SmackDown sucked. Yeah. Anyway, but no, I do agree with you, and I'm probably not going to have to give it much more than a 2 myself. In fact, it's not going to be any more than a 2. I don't know why I made it sound like it was.
So is it a 2?
It's a 2.
It's a 2. Okay.
I was very clear about that, Carl.
So WWE is a big number 2. I think we can all agree with that. So let's move over to AEW. Talking about the highlights this week. Kicking it off, Kenny Omega versus Bryan Danielson. What else is to be said about this? I mean, goddamn, right?
I don't care about the win-loss record anymore.
Come on. This is wrestling. This is like...
Oh, honest to God. This actually, because I know, like, I've seen enough of Bryan Danielson in his former alter ego, to know that he's a fantastic technical wrestler. And I know that a lot of people have watched Kenny from New Japan days and all that. I haven't. So for me, this has been one of the best technical showcases of Kenny's ability, which is something I've not really had. And I know people know he can, and he's, you know, renownedly one of the best wrestlers in the world. And I could go onto YouTube and watch him wrestle a 9-year-old or whatever. But this was like the best sort of technical match I've seen him have in AEW, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, it felt for me, it felt like one of those kind of matches you would only ever expect to be able to play out on like a video game. It was, you know, it is a dream match that they gave away for free on TV. It was fucking excellent. There's nothing else I can say other than it was excellent. I think you've got the two of the best to ever do it. Kenny Omega has got a resume that speaks for itself. Fucking, you know, Bryan Danielson, he's achieved everything you could imagine in all the companies.
I like how you chose to use resume. That's very thoughtful of you there.
Well, you know, I try. But, you know, literally two of the best just fucking going at it on free TV. And I get it. Some people hated the fact it was a time limit draw. But come on.
I think that was an excellent way of ending it.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And don't get me wrong, I think it got lost on the fans, I think, because the fact that next minute the bell just rang. But it's because the crowd was so hot throughout all of it. They were cheering so loud. You couldn't even hear the countdown. There was a countdown there. It was a 10-second countdown to when the match was going to end. And everyone was just like, what? But yeah, like, you know,
I think that says a lot when they're so engrossed in it that they didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And like, I think it suddenly hit them that the match is over. I think that says so much.
I am always a fan as well of like time limit draws, because you don't see them. Like, it makes so much sense, the simple things that AEW does. And it's like, we're going to set a time limit for this match because we're a TV show. You know what I mean? Like, WWE is just like, oh, look at that. It just so happened that all the matches finished in time to end the show. And it's like,
or the spectacular thing they do every week of, well, we've got nothing booked today, so I hope nobody kicks off.
Well, exactly. So it's like, you know, the whole thing makes sense. And, you know, you don't use it all the time. It's not overbearing. You know, I think we've seen one or two other time limit kind of draws, but I think this was excellent because it kept Kenny strong. It kept, you know, Brian strong. And, you know, it set up a future altercation between the two of them. And yeah, I fucking loved it. I thought it was fantastic. And on an episode of Dynamite as well, like, what the, like, this is something people would pay to watch, given away for free on TV. Like, holy shit. Holy shit. Excellent.
Like, oh, I'm spent.
Oh, I was spent after that. Opening match as well, by the way. That's have a lie down. Shit, no.
Love it. Right, well, next highlight, Carl. Another match, actually. I think this is a funny parallel, you know, when you look at our highlights this week to last week, because last week was all promo, and we were like, it's funny, it wasn't a bad week for matches, but the promos were the highlights. It seems to be almost the exact opposite this week, because my next one is MJF and Brian Pillman Jr. I think that fully delivered. Again, does anything really compare to the opener? Probably not. But, you know, we've been building this well. MJF's fantastic. Brian Pillman is, honestly, I didn't really know what to make of him, but this match has really solidified him as, you know, he is a star and will be a star. All in all, it's just a really good match. So it's going to be a highlight for me.
I agree. It's weird that, you know, and, you know, it's not any offense to Pillman, but it's weird that they're trying to kind of go with Pillman as the breakout star at the moment, because obviously you look at Griff and you think, okay, this guy's got the kind of everything about him to be, you know, potentially be like a main event player. But obviously Brian Pillman, yeah, I was a massive fan. Obviously his son is continuing that legacy, and I think he's got all the fundamentals as well. But yeah, MJF was just fucking quality in this. You know, the stuff he did at ringside with Julia, and obviously the stuff he did with Brian in the ring as well. I thought it was a well-worked match, and ultimately MJF just played the ultimate heel, and, you know, he went over, the fans hated it, you know, did his job to the best of his ability, really.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, the next one to talk about, and I would love to get your thoughts on this. I think we both said, all right, cool. We both said when Sting came to AEW that we were like, he's got like a profile on the you know, the wrestler page. Does that mean he's going to wrestle? Maybe he shouldn't do that. He's a bit old now. Things like that, right? I take it all back. I'm not going to, like, I'm not even going to lie. Every time, I think this is like his third or fourth match now in AEW. Obviously, he had a cinematic one, and he's had like two or three in the ring, right? Every time he gets in that fucking thing, he brings it, man. And I don't know. I'm happy he gets to go out on his own terms.
It may have been last week, or no, I think it might have been Revolution. I can't remember now, right? But I made this comment that I am a massive, massive fucking hypocrite because anything WWE does with all the talent, I moan and piss and moan about. And I'm well aware of this, guys. But when Sting took the victory and also did the, what was it? I want to call it the Cobra Clutch. I can't remember the Walls of Jericho, but Sting's one.
Oh, shit, yeah. Scorpion Deathlock.
Scorpion Deathlock, thank you. And he did it to two people. And I'm like, he's just totally fucking ruined that tag team, really. But I fucking loved it. And that I'm just a massive hypocrite when it comes to Sting. He has, I think, he's so totally surprised in what he can do in the ring at his current age. But on top of that, bit of a Sting mark. Sting was like the first sort of, what do you call it? I've always been, I had an affinity with that sort of character. Like Undertaker is my favourite wrestler, as you know, Carl, but in WCW, it was Sting. And there's a reason for that parallel. I kind of like that sort of character. So I've always had a bit of an affinity for Sting anyway. And no, he can fucking pin Kenny Omega for all I care now.
you must be fucking devastated if we never got Undertaker versus Sting. You must be.
Jesus.
I
feel like, they were so heading that way as well, which is just devastating.
I know.
It really is.
I mean, technically we got it many, many years ago before Undertaker was Undertaker. So we did get the match. But, yeah. But no, I think you're absolutely right. I think, you know, Sting was somebody we were hesitant about, and I think he just nails it every single time. And I don't think FTR are going to suffer from this. Like, people were outraged. They were like, as if you've had Sting go over FTR. Like, but it doesn't mean anything. You know, at the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. Darby and Sting aren't like an active tag team in the rankings going after the gold, anything like that. So, you know, FTR came back and yeah, they lost to Proud and Powerful and now they've lost to these guys. But it's FTR. Like,
for me, though, this is the perfect time to do something like this.
Yeah.
If they'd just come hot off the heels of beating Proud and Powerful, then it'd feel weird, wouldn't it? It'd be a fuck up. But that's not what they've done. They're already on a loss. They're having like a little bit of a losing streak. So now's the time to do this, and then you can do plenty of like building them back up. Not a problem.
No. And I think obviously you've had Cash being out with his injury, as career threatening injury as well. So it's almost like I feel like they're playing that into the fact they're losing. The main thing is that he's healthy enough to carry on, which I hope he is, because if they are, I'm sure they're going to be the tag team champions at some point. You know, they are.
Oh, yeah.
They've come there for that reason.
It feels inevitable, like you say, other than that fear of, like, because there was that fear that he was going to have to retire on it and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, other than that, like, they're destined for it. It's going to happen.
It's funny, like, the AEW critics, because, you know, they're like, oh, you know, people are just going to AEW to become champions, and then they go over to AEW, don't become champions, and like, oh, they're not even using them right. I thought that was the reason they went. And it's like, make your mind up. Like, what do you want? Do you want everyone who comes over from WWE to be the champion, or do you want, you know, what do you want?
You're not allowed to use any sort of time, because I remember them doing it almost straight away with Miro. It's like, oh, look, they're using you so much better than they did in WWE. Like, ha ha ha, when he was doing the whole best man thing. And it's like, well, look at him now. Do you know what I mean? But we couldn't let time play out, could we? We couldn't let him build up in the show and in people's eyes and then go ahead to something. Everyone had to get everything straight away. And honestly, that's kind of the WWE mentality anyway, isn't it?
Yeah. And like,
you know, give me all three courses right fucking now.
Well, exactly. And at least in AEW, you get, you know, the dinner debonair with a song and everything. But no, I think it's right. You know, you bring Miro, you bring all these guys over, Miro, Punk, Danielson. You've got so much fucking talent there now. They can't all be going after the belt. So you've got to manage
that's
it in
why,
a way.
Like, we even certain things, like, look at Punk. Like, we've moaned slightly about Punk's opponents, like, since he's come back. But you can't moan too much because it's like, well, he's come back and he can't just be thrust straight into the main event of everything.
Mm.
Like, that wouldn't be the right way to do it. So you've got to let him sort of build up, and you've got to let him wrestle people who could do with the screen time. Like, let's face it, probably the biggest match Russell Hobbs has had. Sorry. Powerhouse Hobbs has had. as being against Punk, because it gave him that profile and that screen time, and that's what Punk's doing for them at the minute. So you can't just throw Punk straight in the mix with the likes of Omega and all that, can you? It wouldn't make sense. So time. It's all about time.
It is. You're a terrible
person. What is time?
That was hilarious. So that was all I had to say on the matter. I'd love to be able to go straight into Punk and Powerhouse, but unfortunately, I can't do that because
Carl. Next highlight for me, and we won't make it quick because it's fucking obvious why, Britt and Ruby.
Oh, yes.
What can I say? Well, I don't need to say anything. Those two are really fucking bringing it.
Anybody who went, Ruby Soho isn't a fucking main star. You know, they brought over Punk and they brought over Danielson, they brought over Adam Cole. Ruby Soho was nothing. And it's like, well, hang on a minute.
I really, really got pissed off with that mentality. Other people say, yeah, why are you making a big deal about it? It's like, why not?
Yeah.
What company would do that? Hire someone and go, eh.
Yeah. And I think as well, fair play to AEW for bringing somebody in and not straight away just going, all right, then, yeah, you know, we'll pull the trigger on them and, you know, we'll make a champ. If anything, it made Britt look even fucking better, right? She's got such a resume at the minute. We know it's going to culminate in another match with Thunder Rosa, right? It has to, right? And we've seen what happened when them two last, you know, faced off in that fucking, you know, groundbreaking match at the ad. So if Thunder beats Britt in that match, you then set up Thunder versus fucking Ruby Soho. And it's like, for a women's division, which, you know, 6 months ago we were going, they just need this and they need, like, holy shit, you know, the script has been flipped. It's a completely different scene now. It's mad.
Honestly, like, this is a massive bias when I say it, and maybe a t-shirt, Carl, if you want to make it, but AEW's women division, Thunder versus anyone, fucking there for it.
Yes, me too. So that was it for Dynamite. Let's move over to Rampage. So I want to call out Punk versus Powerhouse, not Russell, Hobbs. Look, I wasn't blown away when they announced this. I've not made any kind of excuses about that either. It was like following on from fucking Punk versus Darby, which I was a massive fan of. He then comes out and goes, yeah, I'm going to fight the guys from Team Taz. And it's like, are you? So,
but again, it feels stupid.
Yeah.
But he's got to do something.
Well, that's it. And it was like, surely he can't fight Hook because that would be pathetic. And it was like, if he's going to go with Ricky Starks, okay, I can see something. But they went with Powerhouse Hobbs. So, I was like, this is going to be shit.
The more I think about it, the more I think that made sense because it's like he's the one who needed it.
Well, that's it. And it delivered as well. Like, they did a fantastic job of putting on a fucking big, you know, massive heel versus a smaller babyface. And that's the kind of match which is enjoyable. And, you know, you obviously get behind the babyface in those kind of matches. So, you know,
how did you feel about Punk's attire?
It was weird, to be fair. The fact that he went from tights to trunks.
Well, I think it's after your comments, though, about the trunks.
I mean, obviously,
He gave that fun fact about the trunks, and now he's back in the trunks because he doesn't want to take the risk.
I didn't want to reveal it to people. Obviously, we like being this like little niche podcast that people get behind and stuff like that. But yeah, we know Phil listens to the show, and Phil, sorry, you know, we know you're listening now, and you know, this isn't.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
This isn't A to the K talking to CM Punk. This is Carl talking the. Sorry. I just like absolutely, you know, marked out for myself then, referencing a terrible old promo that he did with Triple H. But yeah, I think
still a good promo, that, to be fair.
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, we know Punk as a guy in trunks, so Punk in trunks is better than, you know,
Carl Seuss here.
Yeah, chicks with dicks come.
Do you
chicks
fight Punk in his trunks?
I don't know. I think. Yeah, it was nice to see Punk back in the ring, regardless of what he's wearing. But I think he did a good job for Powerhouse Hobbs. You know, as you said, he was the one who probably needed it the most. Ricky Starks, we know, has got like an it factor about him. Powerhouse has got the look, he's got the size, but we were kind of like, well, what else is it going to be? And, you know, having matches with the caliber of people of CM Punk is only going to be good for him in the long run, so... Yeah, obviously, Punk won, as expected, but I think the way they played it out made sense. It gave, you know, Hobbs a bit of a rub from being in there with the main event guy, and it gave Punk another win on his kind of ascension to, you know, wherever he's going to end up. So, yeah, all in all, I was undersold by the pre-booking, and I was impressed by the match itself.
Oversold by the match. Love it. So, my last one, Carl. Probably in a similar vein. I'm curious to know your feelings on it, because I was a little bit up and down on this. Mm. The Super Click versus Christian, and off your note, the affectionately named J.E. Jurassic Express.
Oh, yeah.
I think this match delivered. I thought it was really entertaining, thoroughly enjoyable. I'm curious how you felt about it, because the sort of random pairing of Christian with Jurassic Express, it seemed a little bit like, why, just for the sake of this? But I don't know, what did you make of it? Because I actually think it was more impressive than I expected it to be.
Yeah, Christian and the JE have been kind of in cahoots for a while now. So I think you've got this little mini faction that's happening between Christian, Jurassic Express, and like Kazarian.
It's kind of cahooting like you got with Matt Hardy and Private Party.
Yeah.
Like, just because you think it works doesn't mean it works.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm not looking at these guys and going, yeah, they belong together. Like, I don't think that at all. But the match itself, I thought, was really good. I think it's mad because it sounds so silly, and it almost sounds like, oh, what an like fucking AEW fanboy Carl is. But Adam Cole fits so much better in AEW than he did in WWE. Like, he really does. I think his little pairing he's got with the Young Bucks, and
no, he definitely does. You can't deny.
He's like, he feels like more of a star there. And I know everybody loved the Undisputed Era, and I get it. I wasn't massively into it.
Undisputed Era was good, mostly because of Adam Cole. I'm going to take a bit of heat for this, right?
Yeah.
Look at the rest of the components. People oddly like Kyle O'Reilly.
We don't get it, do we? like literally, we're just like, why? Why would anybody get that? But, you got Bobby Fish and people like that as well who aren't even there anymore. So, yeah, it was all about Adam Cole. And I think
when they split up, Bobby Fish is gone. I think he's strong, still all right, isn't he? And
now
Kyle O'Reilly keeps getting thrust into main event scenes and nothing comes of it.
Yeah.
So, it was definitely Adam Cole's faction.
Yeah, and, I think Cole never was going to make it on the main roster in WWE, but for whatever reason, he's come into AEW and he feels like a fucking star. And I think the little, like, bromance he's got with the Young Bucks and stuff like that, but in, like, such a little cocky, arrogant way.
I wanted to ask you about the bromance, because I've seen, and bear in mind, this is Twitter and where this kind of toxicity lives, but I've seen him getting a lot of heat, or a lot of, what's the word? Homophobia? I don't know why I struggled to think of that word. Yeah, because it's like, kissing other dudes, and it's like, all right, calm down. Jesus Christ.
Oh, no. Imagine.
Because they kissed him on the cheek.
Yeah, like, imagine.
Oh, okay. Like, bit of a reach, really, to be homophobic, but they went for it.
I mean, Anthony, so, this is a perfect opportunity to do a point right now, because, you know, that is a picture on the screen right now of them kissing Adam Cole on the cheek. I don't get it. Like, literally, you know.
Like you say, it was just part of that cheeky bromance they had going on. No one, I didn't really think anything of it until he ended up on Twitter in the depths of, like, just that sort of conversation. Like, why are people like this?
I don't know.
Yeah, but I was surprised also, it was even a thing, but it's a thing.
Also, I will go on record as saying they haven't got everything right with Adam Cole either, because I'm not a fan of the stuff he's got going on with Tony Schiavone. Like, I get it. Tony is a bit, you know, his friends with Britt Baker, and he's seeing. I hate all that. I think it's shit. I don't think it needs to happen. Mm. So, you know, I'm not just like, oh, Carl loves it. Like, I'm not, because that's shit, and I will say it's shit. But
the confidence that AEW's given me over the last couple of years they've been around is they will recognize and course correct when something isn't working. So I'm totally fine with the stuff that doesn't work, because I know that they'll pay attention.
Yeah.
For them, like, I don't, me wrong, I'm not saying they're always perfect, but for the most, they've corrected when it's something's not been working. And I always go back to it, but the Nightmare Collective did not work.
No.
They dropped it because they had to. It just made sense. So I'm fine with it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think homophobia, weird fucking people on Twitter aside, I think Super Click, I am a fan of that. Here for it all day. So, yeah. However, terms of,
should we give a shout out to, is it Mikey Ruckus who did the theme music for Adam Cole, which is absolutely killing it on the theme music charts or whatever you want to call it.
Hell yeah, Mikey. Like, absolutely nailed it. It's boss as well. It's a fucking banger.
Fucking tea.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Definitely. I absolutely loved it. Like, I remember when he debuted and it was just like, what? Oh, fuck. Like, you know what I mean? Like, straight away you were just like, boom, it's Adam Cole. Like, oh, my God, that's awesome.
And you know what? So, the funny thing, like, so you can't satisfy anyone because some people are still out there like, oh, it's just the same four words over and over. I think it's four. I don't know. You're like, and? It's a theme music. It does exactly what it needs to do and it's badass. Let it go. But yeah. No. Shout out to Mikey Ruckus on that because he did a fucking cracking job.
I like that. Yeah, I agree. But moving on to the Oshites, there's not many of them, but, you know, there are some and we need to talk about them. So Cody made a return against Malakai Black. I thought this was shit. I thought it was clumsy throughout. It was poorly booked. You know, the fans shat all over Cody. You know, he came out trying to be this big baby face for whatever reason. And it's like, I get it. Okay. Certain towns shit on the baby face. I get it. But it happens that often. He's not a baby face.
It's Cody. That's the thing. When is Cody? I thought they were playing into this, right? When he did it with Anthony Ogogo, I thought they were playing into this and they would turn them heel, but one of these heels who doesn't get why you don't like him. Yeah. That's what I thought he was doing, and they didn't pull the trigger. And I feel like they're doing it again, where they honestly think that he should be the babyface. And, like, how can you not see the natural booking here? Yeah, people so wanted Malakai into AEW. Why are they going to hate him?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, I wasn't a fan about how convoluted it was. But you know me when it comes to wrestling and finishes, Anthony, right? I fucking hate it when someone does a roll-up and, you know, nothing's really happened and they just all of a sudden go, I'm just going to lie there. I can't possibly kick out, right? That pisses me off. You know what pisses me off more, Anthony? When somebody blows some black mist in your eyes. How can't you kick out of that? It's just shit in your eyes. You're not, you're not incapacitated.
That's blindsided to maybe take some sort of attack.
The rest of your body, right, can fucking kick out or go, what's going on? No. Bit of mist in the eyes puts you down like this, apparently. I fucking hated it. I hate shit like that.
To be fair, he'd slip drugs into that mist.
Which, I mean,
it was chloroform, mostly.
If that was explained, then that's cool. But it wasn't, so I'm going to go with the fact it wasn't, and I'm going to go with the fact it was a shitty finish, and someone like Cody should know better.
Yeah. Okay. Not mad.
I'm not mad. I'm disappointed. Yeah, you're right.
Oh, I love it. Well, do you know what? I think I've got you beat on the Oshites front, because there aren't many. Mm. This is probably the only other one, actually, as far as I'm concerned, for AEW. But how's this for, like, just fucking weird, to be honest? Matt Hardy challenges Orange Cassidy to a hair versus hair match for some reason. But he puts Jack Evans' hair on the line for some reason.
As you do.
Why? Who the fuck knows? I mean, okay, I didn't even consider, like, is Orange Cassidy even going to lose that much if he lost his hair? I'm not even, like, what?
I mean, why would you put a stipulation like that with Orange Cassidy? Like, it seems like the guy just wouldn't care anyway. Just shave me and they'd be just like, so. Yeah. Like, what's, you know. Like,
which, by the way, shout out to Orange Cassidy's TikTok, which I discovered this week and it's fucking amazing.
It is. It definitely is. But, like, you know, typically with these kind of matches, you know, the gimmick exists for that purpose. It's either someone losing a mask and giving up their lucha identity or someone, you know, who is very much like a bit of a prima donna who loves the way they look and can't possibly part with the hair, right?
And Orange there's Cassidy? Never going to be a better hair versus hair match than Kurt Angle and Edge, and we all know it.
Well, yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I don't know. It feels a bit weird. Obviously, I will go on record. I think I have done in the past. I'm not a fan of the Hardy Family Office. I don't get it. Not for me at all, in the slightest, but yeah, this weird thing where, you know, it was an Oshite last week or the week before where he got some guy from the audience and started shaving his head and that made no sense. And now we find out it's leading to this. But yeah, again, it's against Orange Cassidy, who seemingly wouldn't give a fuck if he shaved his head because he's Orange Cassidy. So it's like, what is the point?
You could probably just offer him the money and he'd do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't even need to be a match.
He'd probably do it himself. He'd just be like, So, yeah. I agree.
Yeah,
that is an Oshite.
Very, very strange. Has to be an Oshite, definitely.
So, AW, Anthony, I'm going to give it a 3.5 out of 5. I think it was an excellent Dynamite. Fucking fantastic. Rampage, I thought, was okay. And I think I will firmly go on record as saying I prefer a one-hour Rampage. I think they get it right every week, pretty much consistently, when it's a one-hour show. I felt like they tried to cram a bit too much into the 2 hours, which is weird since it's only normally a one-hour show. But, yeah, there was so much going on. They tried too hard.
Like, I do think it's something about working with that tighter time scale that, like you say, they seem to nail it. They know that the time is precious, so they just, yeah. It is better somehow.
Yeah. Like part of me thinks if it would have been like a typical Rampage, but with, you know, two or three, you know, solid matches, that it could have even got up to like four territory. But yeah, unfortunately, yeah, 3.5 for me.
Yeah, I get that. In fact, I get it so much, I'm going to agree with you again. I'm going to go 3.5.
Look at this. In fucking sync. In sync. NSYNC, yeah. I'm sure they got some hits. I was trying to think of some, and I was just like, yeah, can't think of any.
I know. Everyone I think that might be one of their hits ends up being Backstreet Boys. So
do you know what? Yeah, exactly the same. I was like, I was going to make a joke about Bye Bye. Is that them? Is that Backstreet Boys? I don't even know.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows?
Join us next week on the Boy Band podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, do it. It's going to be a New Kids on the Block special. But no. Step by step.
Each week we try and remember boy bands.
Yeah.
Did they sing that?
I'm sure they sung something, right? Yeah, that would be terrible. But no, before we call time on This Week in Wrestling, let's just also have a little bit of a look in what happened in the other promotions this week. And we're basically just going over to Impact this week. So firstly, to talk about, we had Mickie James and Deonna Purrazzo having a bit of a in-ring promo, in-ring kind of, you know, kerfuffle, which led to no one likes a kerfuffle. I think I'm really into this, to be honest. I think Deonna Purrazzo has been a really good champion, and I think Mickie James, obviously huge fans, friend of the show, she brings something to the Impact title that zone. Has been, yeah, she brings something to the Impact zone, but no, she brings something to the women's belt that has been long overdue, I think. And obviously Deonna's done such a fantastic job, but you know, you add Mickie James into the mix, and not to sound like Scott Steiner, but yeah, drastic improves. So yeah, big fan. And also sticking with Impact, Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel, returns.
How ace was that promo as well? That video package was fucking brilliant.
So fucking good. You know, Christopher Daniels, we have spoken about. He's a fucking legend. You know, he's spoken about us previously as well for the show. Yet to get him on. Who knows now whether we can. Maybe there won't be certain, you know, hurdles in place herein. So yeah, who knows? I would love to have him on the show. He's the only guy who's literally worked for every fucking major territory going over the years. Every one of them.
Oh, it's got such a career. Out of the man. And you know what? And you go, that was him. I honestly believe that might have been him sort of retiring, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have the return. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. I was so hyped just seeing that video alone. Like, I'm just like, that's fucking awesome. Can't wait.
Yeah, no, same. Yeah, he's back. I can't wait to see what he does in Impact. And yeah, hopefully we can now get him on the show without the barriers in place that we've had in the past.
Is he still with AEW, though?
I have no idea.
He's still AEW bound.
Maybe.
Like, they have a partnership going on, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we can only try. But yeah, hopefully we'll get him on and we'll keep you posted. But yeah, Made Up is back. Made Up, the Fallen Angels, back. You know, no offense to like SCU and stuff like that, but you know, you think of Christopher Daniels, you think of the Fallen Angel. So
yeah, I totally admired what SCU were trying to do. Yeah. I think they, for the most, achieved that as well, in all fairness. But yeah, like you say, he's the Fallen Angel. Like, that's what we want. It's what we've got, the Fallen Angel back, and I'm hyped. Bit of a solo run. It's what I wanted to see in AEW. Hopefully we get some time in AEW, but fuck it, we'll watch Impact for it. I don't care.
Yeah, whatever it takes, whatever it takes. Yeah, that was This Week in Wrestling. We will be back talking all the latest news and news and rumors in the world of wrestling in the Ringside Report, and we'll give our thoughts on Extreme Rules. Was it Extreme?
Extreme.
Normal rules.
Extreme.
Yeah, we'll give our thoughts on the rules. So we'll be back after this.
Hey, everybody. This is Thunder Rosa, and you're watching or listening A to the K. A to the K.
A to the K.
A to the K.